the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Rant and Wrestling, ladies and gentlemen. We got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of Japan stuff, a lot of American stuff, a lot of UK stuff. This is Pootie KD, one half of World Tag Team Champions, and I'm joined here, coming all the way from the West Side. You know him, you love him. It is West Side Gall.
Yeah, yeah. And depending on how California acts, there might be three Californias soon.
haven't they kind of tried that before?
Yeah. If we're going to vote for anything, let's just vote for seceding from the country.
Right.
I don't know. I don't want California to be its own state. So I already hate Northern California, so it kind of works out.
Yeah.
And SoCal. So there's going to be a third Cal?
Yeah, like it's just California. I believe it's like sort of the coastline, rich, conservative. I don't know.
Okay. And obviously you heard him. The Twitter World Champion. Tuesday. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm dealing with some funny business myself. I got approved for a mortgage loan last week, so that's a good thing. Only to find out that the fucking Federal Reserve upped the interest rate. So now I have to find a house quickly before things get worse.
All right. Well, hopefully,
my buying power is diminished.
So they like the government to come and fuck you over.
Yeah, yeah. They quote unquote said that they increased the interest rate because the economy is good.
That seems like the wrong reason, but whatever.
Yeah, right? Like, they just love to fuck with people. See, I don't know. It's so fucking dumb. God damn it. I just gotta find something quickly before they fuck me.
Alright.
So, we're gonna start off with the New Japan stuff, because that was very important.
Yeah, I stayed up for that.
Yeah, I did too. The third show I've ever actually bothered to wake up and watch. Because for me, the shows are always like between 12 and 2 a.m. And I'm usually like, fuck that, I'm just going to sleep.
You know what? I lucked out. Like, I woke up at the right moment, like, where, like, the most important stuff went down.
Yeah. Well, this was a top show for the year. I think this was better than Wrestle Kingdom, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I believe, like, definitely that's from what I saw from the second half. Definitely thought
this over. Yeah. We're putting this over Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? I can see that because Wrestle Kingdom this year was good, but it wasn't like
it was good. But it was
last year.
Yeah, it wasn't last year's good.
Or the year after that. So.
Last year was insane.
Yeah. See, this last one was just last year. Show. Okay. Last year was insane for the second half. To be fair, I believe that this year's Wrestle Kingdom was a better, like, complete show overall.
Oh, yeah, because you had the undercard match, like, Cody versus Kota Ibushi.
A lot of the undercard was stronger this time around, but, like, when it came to, like, five-star shit, like, last year was it.
Yeah. Wrestle Kingdom was good this year, but Dominion was just fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about it.
All right. Before the show actually started, I guess they did some stuff pre-show with the new president of the company, Harold Meije, who's a Dutch man who's been working for Bushiroad for a while.
It's a white guy.
Yeah, he's a Dutch dude. They gave him a own promo package and everything. I didn't watch it because I woke up exactly for the show. But, I think he's the guy who also started all those the New Japan dolls you see, those little bear dolls they have.
Oh, yeah.
That was because he ran the toy part of Bushiroad. So they're bringing the toy company guy over. So, yeah. That was the start of the show. and then we get to the actual matches. Here we go.
See, and one thing I kind of admire from New Japan, like, they're not afraid of, like, a more mature content, but they're still able to work the kid stuff as well, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and they know that the kid stuff is also appealing to their female audience, which makes up like 40% of their audience. Because those girls be buying all the New Japan toys.
Yeah.
All right. So, first show on the card was the IWGP Junior Heavyweight Tag Team Titles, as Yoshinobu Kanemaru and El Desperado successfully defeated Roppongi 3K. This was a very good match. Yo and Sho did pretty decently in the Best of the Super Juniors, where Yo defeated Kanemaru in one-on-one action, and Sho defeated Desperado in one-on-one action, and then they beat them in a triple threat match. So it looked like RP3K was going to come in super strong and win it, but they were outsmarted by the veteran heel tag team. This was a hot opener. It was good. The audience liked it. All right. Some random-ass shit they got messaged me. Okay, next matchup. Juice Robinson and David Finlay defeated Jay White and Yoshihashi of Chaos. Juice Robinson scored the victory over Jay White, setting up a U.S. title match at Cow Palace, which...
I hope he wins, man. I really hope he wins.
I think he'll win because, you know, he's gotten several title shots, and I think he's ready for a title.
Yeah, he needs this one.
And it would make sense, Jay White... Well, I'll get to a little detail about Jay White after this.
All right.
But, yeah... I think we kind of predicted Josh Robinson would score the victory here. And then we had a match that probably should have been for the Rev Pro Tag Team titles, as the Rev Pro British Tag Team Champions Minoru Suzuki and Zack Sabre Jr. of Suzuki-Gun took on the Rev Pro British Heavyweight Champion Tomohiro Ishii and Toru Yano in a very hard-hitting match, where Zack Sabre Jr. premiered the low-blow counter move. Yeah. Toru Yano tried to do the uppercut low-blow, but Zach caught him with the thighs and did that spinning arm hold breaker thing he does. And then went right into the finish. This was...
People have been giving out low blows for decades. And no one has ever thought to do that.
Yeah.
It was.
He practices kegels, man.
Yeah, this was a hot match. They worked really hard. And who knew Zack Sabre Jr. and Yano had good chemistry? But it's weird because Yano actually has a background as Greco-Roman style wrestling, and I think he also has an MMA background with a 2-0 winning streak.
I thought it was like judo or something like that.
Might have been. He's apparently like a legit fighter. We just don't know it because it's fucking Yano. So, And then we got the Never Open Weight title match, the triple threat match, a rare triple threat match. I mean, they do sometimes, you know, the tag team triple threat matches, but this was 1-1-1, as Michael Elgin defeated the champion Hirooki Goto and Taichi in a match that was over-delivered. The audience was really into it. Elgin dropped 40 pounds, so he looks a lot leaner.
Wow.
Yeah, new tights as well. This was a very good match.
His shit looked like Captain Marvel.
Yeah, it did. It looked like Captain Marvel. So you had Goto playing the defending champion. You had Elgin playing the super powerful guy, and Taichi being the shit heel who kept trying to pick his spots during the match. So it actually worked. All their personalities, it actually worked out. It was a good match. All right, and then you got, and this is, I think, where the show really, really kicks into gear. The IWGP Tag Team Heavyweight titles.
Yep.
Young Bucks defeat Evil and Sonata in a great match. That included Evil and Sonata stealing the fucking Indy Taker Meltzer driver partway through the match as a reversal. Evil and Sonata worked really fast, really hard, but the Young Bucks, of course, with the 15 years experience as a tag team, did it. They won it. They are only the second tag team to go from being the junior heavyweight tag champs to the heavyweight tag champs. The other team was No Limit, which was Naito and Yujiro Takahashi.
Yeah.
So, very good match. And then we got on to, where were we? Pretty fun six-man match as Team Cody Bullet Club, Cody, Hangman Page, and Marty Scurll, defeated the Legends team of Hiroshi Tanahashi, Jushin Thunder Liger, and Rey Mysterio Jr. is sporting a really cool mask with some makeup on it.
Yeah.
To rep. Fun match, some really good spots. Yeah, overall really good. Could have been longer, but, you know, they had time issues for the main event.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, a good match after the tag team match. And then we got the junior heavyweight title match, which was actually my favorite match of the show, because Takahashi and Ospreay are fucking ludicrously crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this was, Takahashi defeated Ospreay with the, I guess his triangle choke is the move called the D. I don't know why it's called
the D. So he gave him the D.
Yeah, but I don't think, I think Ospreay named it that, because Ospreay tried to explain to Takahashi what the D meant. Did you see the press conference between these two?
Oh, no, I missed that.
Well, they go on, and I think Ospreay sort of revealed that he's actually bisexual during it, when he was explaining what the D meant in dick, and how people like dick, and some men like dick. I was like, I didn't watch it all, but then I heard, like, yeah, Ospreay came out as bi in that. I'm like, what? It's a weird
so
place to do that.
So he's bi? Okay.
I guess. But apparently, Hiromu did not know. Maybe he named it the D and didn't realize what it meant until Ospreay told him. But, yeah. He won. The match was crazy. It started off hot, and it was a pretty intense match. So, my favorite match of the show. It was crazy, over the top. Takahashi's had a good year. He did a great job in the Best of the Super Juniors. Him and Itachi Ishimori got that 5.5 stars out of 5. Belter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
That means it's gospel.
Yeah.
It is law.
It's law, yep.
Meltzer sort of tried to explain that he just likes wrestling more now than he did, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah, right. No, he broke the code of the 5-star match. Now it's all over the place.
Going back, it's like,
right? No. Yeah, you really can't now. Like,
I think this is only the third match he's done with over 5 stars with two, where it's. The Taiji Takahashi match is only the third one where there's only Japanese wrestlers. All the other more than 5-star matches have Omega in it, I believe.
Yeah.
So, yeah, interesting. But, what it is, it's 6-star matches. It's Misawa and Kawada, and then probably going to be 4 Kenny and Okada matches. And then more than 5 is Omega, Naito from last year's G1, and the recent Tanahashi Okada match as well. Yeah. What the hell website? I hate Voices of Wrestling. I should have just pulled up Wikipedia to look at the results again. All right. So after that one, we got Tetsuya Naito losing the Intercontinental Championship to motherfucking Chris Jericho. In a match where I literally thought fucking Naito was going to die. This motherfucker was bleeding from above and under his eye and from his ear by the end of it.
Oh, yeah, he beat his ass.
Yeah, he went
through some glass or something?
Nah, he went through, like, a table, and then he took a DDT spot on a table that didn't break. He did do the pile driver on Jericho onto a table that didn't break, too. But there were some chair shots, I believe. It was a violent match. There was a couple of flubs, but I actually liked this match better than Jericho Omega, because it just seemed nastier. Like, Jericho's very just mean in New Japan, and, you know, Naito was selling everything beautifully.
And you heard how, like, Jericho explained why that it was better. Because, like, he felt like when it was Omega versus him, it was just, like, guy versus guy. It wasn't really, like, the traditional heel versus face type deal that we get. Like, Naito, as much as he's a dick, he's a fucking fan favorite.
Yeah, but it's weird because they were in Osaka, and that's traditionally still one of the markets where Naito gets booed, too.
Yeah.
But I guess maybe that was the point, to get him more cheered in Osaka.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, that makes sense. Jericho said some nice stuff about Naito post-match. He said Naito was a very tough guy. So, after the match was over and Jericho won, he continued to attack Naito when Naito was saved by Evil, who hit Jericho with the lariat. So we might be getting an Evil versus Jericho match. And Evil has no qualms about going fucking hardcore in a match.
Yeah.
Evil will take a fucking chair spot or a fucking table spot. Evil don't care. You want to knock Evil out concussion style? He don't give a fuck. I'm actually worried about Evil, really.
Yeah, I was about to say, he should. You know, concussions are super serious.
Yeah. Alright, so a bunch of great matches, and then we got the main event, which I believe went a total of 69 minutes, which, if, what was that tweet? This means Ryusuke Taguchi is now the Minister of Japan or something?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah. So,
yeah, 69 on 6-9.
Yep. Oh, yeah, Ryusuke Taguchi runs Japan now. Fuck that shit. All right, so IWGP Heavyweight title match. No time limit, 2 out of 3 falls. Kenny Omega defeat ends Kazuchika Okada's legendary run. In fact, Kazuchika Okada was actually like a week or two away from beating the all-time Japanese heavyweight title record, which is held by Kenta Kobashi.
What was that? So if Okada gets the title again, he'll beat it?
When he gets the title. Well, no, for a single reign title run.
Oh,
when Kobashi was the the Pro Wrestling NOAH GHC Heavyweight Champion, he held the title for 750 or so days. So it was basically just slightly longer than this Okada run. Overall, all his title reigns will probably be much longer than Kenta Kobashi, because Kenta Kobashi only was the GHC champion once. For some fucking reason. But yeah.
As far as a single title, yeah.
Yeah, as far as a single title, Kobashi's still the number one dude in Japan. And Kobashi also has his Fortune Dream show coming up, too. But yeah, so this was a very fucking good match. Glad I saw it live. Okada actually scored the first win, surprisingly, by doing a cradle pin. I don't think I've ever seen Okada win a match with a flash pin, ever. So, That was strange.
Wait, who got the first fall?
Okada.
Okada with the roll-up.
Well, it was a cradle pin, where the Bret Hart, Davey Boy Smith match, where Bret Hart tried to go for a sunset flip, but then Davey just went into a cradle hold.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was kind of like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And then they actually had a minute break, and Okada was there just smiling his big, goofy ass off, and just like, I got one win. And then they went.
Gotta do it again.
Yeah, they went to the second one, and Omega did it. He hit him with the one wing angel, got that, picked up the second one. And then right as soon as the third one came on, Okada got the fucking Rainmaker but couldn't pin him. The whole third fall was based on can Okada hit the Rainmaker right and then cover him quickly. Because that was kind of what he was trying to do. But Omega hit a quick kind of... He actually reversed one of the Rainmakers into a fucking one-wing angel. And then hit the one-wing angel again and did it. And, it was, he won. Kota Ibushi was in his corner, the Young Bucks came out, they all shared a hug, Cody was salty out on the, rampway, and, Omega cut a promo. It was a damn good match, one of my, favorites of the year. I actually have, like, a top 30 set aside right now. I don't know if it's in my top 10.
Well, for the matches of the year so far.
Yeah.
I was going to wait until, like, maybe about like another 2 weeks just in case something, like, might slip in under the radar.
Oh, I wanted to do it before all the major... Well, I had it because I watch all the major tournaments, so, you know, got to keep up. But, I mean, my favorite match so far this year is still Andrade and Gargano.
Awesome match.
Yeah, pretty sure this one's in my top 20 of my... I got it right here. Come up. All right. Yeah. Here we go. Here's my list. I wrote down everything, and then I have a... And sometimes I change the order because I'll look at it like, do I still really like this match? But yeah, my top 10 are Andrade and Gargano, the Ospreay-Skrull match, Tanahashi-Okada, or Nakajima versus Masaki Oto, Ayoko Hamada. I hope you're doing good, Hamada. I love you. Versus Chihiro Hashimoto, Goto versus Suzuki, Tanahashi, Zack Sabre Jr., and Tanahashi versus Suzuki. So Omega versus Okada is like number 12 or 13 on here. But yeah.
So what was the match of the night?
For me, I still like the junior match a little bit better. I have it just over Omega versus Okada on my list. But I'm not going to, like, if someone told me Omega Okada was the best match of the show, and, in a few weeks, I might change my mind and move Okada Omega up. Because sometimes I'm like, you know what, maybe that was the better match. But for me right now, the junior title is probably because we're coming right off of the best of the super juniors. So I got to watch both of them, Ospreay and Takahashi, and also Ospreay's been on such a run this last year. Like, for me, most of Omega's most interesting stuff that happened this year was just teaming with Kota Ibushi, and I like it, but it's not my favorite stuff. But for me, like, if I had to do my top wrestlers of the year right now, Omega would not be in my top five. Just because, as a tag wrestler, I would put the Golden Lovers in my top five tag team. But as a singles wrestler, I think, like, Zack Sabre Jr. or Ospreay or Okada have had, or even Tanahashi have had a more interesting year in New Japan. Because Omega actually works less matches than singles matches than those guys have this year. I don't know if you guys noticed that.
No.
So that's kind of why I put Takahashi, Ospreay over it. They've worked more singles matches, and I've been really into them. But yeah, I love this match. This match was great. So, but for me, it was the junior match was slightly better. But that's just me. But the whole last half of the card was great. Dominion is one of my two favorite shows of the year. That and the penultimate best of the Super Juniors, where they had all the singles matches for A Block and B Block. That was a great fucking show. So yeah, that's it. And let me go through the cards, the New Japan cards real quick. And then we're going to get to all the WWE stuff we got to do. So we got the Kizuna Road Tour, which I didn't originally care about, but there's some important stuff that will happen. For example, on Friday, the first show should give us the 20 wrestlers who are going to be in the G1 Climax. So that's the one of the attractions for the Friday show. The rest of the card is pretty good. We have a Young Lions match opening up. We have another Young Lions match. Umino and Oka taking on Yujiro Takahashi and Bone Soldier Taiji Ishimori. We got a six-man match. Ren Narita, Kushida, Finley versus RPG-3K. We got Tohei Hanare and Togi Makabe taking on Yoshihashi and Toriano. Then we have two elimination matches to top the show. And I like their elimination matches. LIJ versus Suzuki-Gun, except this Suzuki-Gun does not have Suzuki or Zack Sabre Jr. Should still be fun. And then we have Chaos versus New Japan Army. And guess who's come back to team up with Michael Elgin? Jeff Cobb.
Yeah, I was about to say, is it Jeff Cobb?
Yep, Jeff Cobb is going to be doing part of this tour. Sure, Elgin's looking very much forward to that.
Maybe they had a talk or something.
Hold up, so... No, I think that shit's funny. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm assuming they had to have a talk halfway through the very uncomfortable tag league. But So the New Japan Army for this one is Tanahashi, Elgin, Robinson, Cobb, and Taguchi versus Chaos. That is Friday's show. Friday's show, yeah. Are they skipping it? Fucking did I miss one of these stupid motherfuckers? All right, let me double check. And then the next day, I believe, or is it actually Sunday? Nope, no, they actually did jump to Sunday. For some reason, I thought it went Friday, Saturday, Sunday. All right, so then Sunday they should layer out the blocks for who's in what block. They're spreading out the G1 Climax announcement over a few days to get you to watch. That's why all three of these first shows are actually going to be aired. So another Young Lions match. Nakanishi and Nagata jump on the card to wrestle Umino and Oka. Renderita teams with Tenzin versus Yujiro Takahashi and Bone Soldier Taiji Ishimori. I just fucking love to say that.
Yeah, I like saying Bone Soldier too.
Yeah. Then we got a couple of five-man matches, New Japan Army with Makabe, Cobb, Hinar, Kushida, and Taguchi, or Taguchi Japan, as if you'd just rather do that, versus Chaos, RPG 3K, Yoshihashi, Toriano. Then Suzuki-Gun versus LIJ. Six-man, Finley, Robinson, Tanahashi versus Chaos's Ishii, White, and Okada. Oh, that reminds me. I meant to say this. Jay White is the only person in Chaos that now has a belt. It was Goto, Ospreay, Okada, White. White is the last guy in Chaos with a title. And now the only Japanese wrestlers in New Japan with titles are the juniors, which are Suzuki-Gun, Kanemaru, and Desperado, and Hiromu Takahashi. All the heavyweight titles are current, and most tag titles outside the junior tag titles are all held by foreigners. So, yeah, big deal. And I'm saying that also because we have Elgin defending the Openweight Championship against Hiroki Goto on that show. All right, the 18th, another Young Lion stuff. All right, a lot of these matches are more or less the same with some slight alterations to who's where. We do have, for example, the LIJ match is going to be a 4-on-4 and stuff because Hiromu Takahashi on this on the Monday show is defending the junior title against El Desperado. And this one they should probably start announcing some of the tour locations and announce some of where... Well, when I say the tour locations, they're going to announce some of the matches with days they take place, because they like to announce some of the matches ahead of time before they do the full card. And then finally, I'm going to do the Super Strong Machine retirement show. Super Strong Machine was a New Japan wrestler. I don't know much about him. This is his retirement show at Hurricane Hall. It's next Tuesday. I'm going to skip right to the main event, because the main event is really weird. Well, not really weird. It is the Super Strongman Commemorative Invitational Match, as LIJ, all five of them, take on the Super Strong Machine team of Super Strong Machine Ace, Super Strong Machine Buffalo, Super Strong Machine Justice, Super Strong Machine Dawn, and Super Strong Machine number 69. So that's Tanahashi, Tenzin, Nagata, Ryusuke Taguchi, and I'm not sure who Strong Machine Dawn is. I want to say Nakanishi, but I could be wrong. So basically, you're going to get to see a bunch of the New Japan guys wrestle in a mask. So that could actually be fun. So those are that, and we're going to do one more show before we jump into other stuff. Give you the Powerbomb TV lineup. Where are you, Powerbomb Television? Okay, here we go. So we have Freelance Wrestling on June 15th. It is 10 p.m. Central Time, I guess. 11 p.m. Eastern Time. I don't know. Oh, that's kind of late for a Chicago show, but whatever. The show will have Darren Corbin, not to be confused by the Constable Baron Corbin, defending his title, freelance title, against Isaias Velasquez, the Freelance Tag Team Champions. Four Star Heroes have an open challenge. We have Craig Mitchell taking on PCO, the most over indie wrestler right now. GPA versus Kylie Ray, not to be confused with Kaylee Ray, yeah. Stevie Fears versus Peter Avalon. The N-Words versus the Carnies. Ethan Page versus Eric Cannon, and a freelance scramble, which has Airwolf, Jack Parnell, Kobe Durst, Kikutaro, Kevin Koo, I Candy Elliott, Robert Anthony, and Kenny Sutra. And then a women's match, Holly Lane versus Shotzi Blackheart versus Koharu Hinata. And that is the only show happening, new show happening on Powerbomb Television. So now we get to the part where everybody wants to talk about WWE stuff. Woo!
Yeah. Woo! Man, okay. So now we get to the show of the weekend, because we already know how NXT delivers. This is NXT Chicago, the home of, I guess, quote-unquote, former UFC fighter CM Punk after what happened to him. Boy, I don't know. He needs to start reevaluating his
positive
a little
side.
Bit.
The guy who just won his lawsuit, CM Punk.
Yeah, yeah. So he was, in his words, he was one for one. I mean, one and one for the week.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I listened to the Colt Cabana podcast because he actually was recording his thoughts after every through the trials. And if you should really, and if you want, you should check that out because it's very interesting. But God, it sounded like that money would have been even more than the $4 million. They would have talked. They were talking about ran out to like $40 million for that podcast.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah, but that whole thing, and they said on the first day they made all the first they asked all the jurors if they listen to podcasts, and only two of them said they did, and it was the Joe Rogan podcast. So, and then they made them all listen, huh?
Of course, it's Joe Rogan.
Yeah, they made them all listen to the CM Punk Colt Cabana podcast, and apparently, and Colt Cabana had his own lawyer there too. And apparently Colt Cabana's lawyer told Colt Cabana that he thought it was really boring as a non-wrestling fan, so fuck. He figured that the jurors were not happy about this. He went through some of the people who showed up, but it was interesting listening. Like, they had the guy on the doctor on the stand, and during it, Colt Cabana's lawyer apparently asked the doctor, it's like, why didn't you contact Colt Cabana to tell him that what CM Punk said wasn't true? And then the doctor said, you're not supposed to give privileged information. And then CM Punk's lawyer was like, wait a minute. I got text messages of you telling people about CM Punk's medical, and he was going through it. And this doctor's fucking, God, it was stupid. But yeah, it was interesting listening to Colt Cabana because he seemed like he was just feeling awful during the whole thing. But it was interesting to hear him talk about his lawyer, and his lawyer came was on there at the end. But it was a pretty good podcast. It's only like 40 minutes, too. And it's basically...
And don't forget, in the trial, they finally revealed that CM Punk's CM really actually stands for...
Did the computer drop?
I cannot believe that happened. You was like, CM finally stands for, and then it just went blank. Like you read this or something.
Okay, so my shit just stopped out of the blue. So I have to start the recording again. So, hey, Westside, are you starting?
I've been recording, actually.
You've been recording?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, you might want to do some stuff.
But yeah, my copy is still recording at 43 minutes right now. But my thing starts automatically when it comes on. So like the first 15 minutes, I think, are just us. 10 minutes are just.
Because I was like, what? That ain't no way. Okay.
Man, I could just combine the audio files and Audacity and be done with it, I guess. Damn, that's just more work for me. All right, and I start the recording again in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Yeah. So yeah, don't never forget the chick magnets. Chick magnets.
Yeah, the other one was chick magnet venom or something, if I remember right.
Chick magnet venom.
So the whole myth of Chicago May Punk is just a lie. You know, he could have kept going with this for years
until he dies.
Yeah. No spoilers, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, that's the biggest travesty of the trial, is ending the mystery. Like, what? Yeah. That dude's lawyer was a fucking idiot anyway.
I mean, he could be lying, you know, just to say it, but I think it's too late for that now.
Yeah. Alright, so, go on, man, tell us what's happening.
The first match that I want to talk about is for the NXT Tag Team Championships, Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch. Going up against Roderick Strong and Kyle O'Reilly of the Undisputed Era. When is Bobby Fish coming back?
When he's not being injured.
When is that? He's been injured for like 4 months, 5 months. Maybe longer than that. Shit. Was he on the other New Orleans takeover show?
Yeah, he was there, but he was in a cast.
Oh my gosh.
Well, I swear, you know, maybe he'll pop up.
I don't want them to break that group up.
Not
yet, at least. Because I don't want to be like, all right, now that I'm better, I want my tag belt back. They're going to be like, no, I kind of like it, you know. But hopefully they don't do nothing like that. But I think this might be actually a pretty good match, maybe a little underrated. I don't know how much time they're going to get, but I'm picking the Undisputed Era. And I believe they've probably been tag team champions since, like, beginning of December.
I'm going to check it right now.
Yeah, they're not longer tag team champions than the Ascension, as far as that one title ring that they had.
Yeah, Ascension is 364 days.
Yeah, and how long is Undisputed Era?
Wikipedia makes me have to go to a completely different page to get the individual reigns because they're losers. All right, where are you? Combined reigns. Why are you being so fucking weird? Okay, Undisputed Era is 193 days.
Is that the second longest?
No. The second longest is the Revival with their two reigns is 326 days, followed by Blake and Murphy at 219, and then followed by the Authors of Pain at 203. So yeah, they'll probably break Authors of Pain and maybe Blake and Murphy.
Okay, I forgot about Blake and Murphy being a tag team. But yeah, I'm gonna pick Undisputed Era. Right now they're pretty quiet. I would say both of them for real, but this show feels quiet, even on paper.
Yeah, I kept forgetting there was. Well, that's because there's literally only one match on here I really absolutely fucking care about, but we'll get to it.
Yeah, I'm gonna pick Undisputed Era on Doomsday. You pick Undisputed Era, you not give a shit.
Undisputed Era.
I think they should open the show with this.
Yeah,
they should open the show with this.
I think of all these matches, is the one that has the least, you know, importance to it, though. I'm happy Oni Lorcan's getting on fucking TakeOver.
Right, about time. Jesus. Yeah. And I guess next is, what's his new name? It's not Dijak no more. It's Donovan something. Maybe they might use him in the next coming months. Next match I want to bring up is Shayna Baszler versus Nikki Cross for the NXT Women's Championship. I predict Shayna Baszler winning this, but like you said for Oney Lorcan, I'm glad Nikki Cross is actually getting the title shot because she's also a good wrestler.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, she's fucking over with that crowd.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and where the hell is Sanity at?
People love her.
They gave up on Sanity and put him on house shows so no one could find him.
Yeah, basically.
Because she's like the last remaining one in NXT. I think they got a call up.
And AOP completely disappeared.
Yeah.
What is going on? Titus Worldwide is still out, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, Titus makes money, right?
I guess.
So, hey, when you're a meme star, they got to put you on TV.
Yeah, they love doing that shit. But yeah, I'm going to pick Shayna Baszler. She seems like she's pretty strong going forward. After Nikki Cross, because I thought they was going somewhere with this whole Dakota Kai stuff, but I don't know who Shayna Baszler could face after that. Maybe someone after the whenever the Mae Young Classic 2 is. I don't know when that starts neither.
Well, I think they still have to do some sort of match between Shayna and Kairi, I would imagine.
Yeah, because Kairi was slicing women's rights. I forgot her name. Lacey Evans.
A women's right.
Yes, women's rights. That was what her finisher was called. Women's
right. Awesome.
I would say Bianca Belair, but I think they're portraying Bianca as kind of a heel, so I'm not sure that would be a good match.
Yeah, she's a heel, basically.
But, I mean, they have women. It's just who would work good with Shayna, and I think they'd probably set aside for Kairi. I actually kind of think Dakota will probably end up beating Shayna for the title. That there might
be...
Like
a sneaky roll-up type deal?
Maybe. I think it would probably be best to have her drop the title to Dakota in a few months and then move Shayna up to the main roster. I don't see Shayna being... I see Shayna on the main roster by at least the beginning of next year.
Yeah, I can see that happening. Like a little bit before WrestleMania?
Yeah. And I mean, Dakota Kai seems like the right person for it. Unless they give the title to Kairi Sane.
Or if they wanted to do something with that, what's her name? Ronda Rousey shit. Because, you know, them two. Shayna Baszler and Rousey, they are all together and stuff. But we'll see how it goes.
The only other option is, to me, Io Shirai, the woman who should have been in the last Mae Young Classic. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, I've only seen a handful of matches with her, but damn, is she fucking good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe that could be another challenge for him, or maybe Asuka. I don't know. We're thinking long, long down the line here. But yeah, Shayna Baszler for the win. One of the matches that I wanted to see is the Velveteen Dream versus Kane Ricochet. No, yes. The one and only Ricochet. The one and only.
One and only.
The one and only. I definitely like how he flipped outside that ring. That was, I had to show somebody that one. That was like, awesome.
That made my knees like tremble. Cause
yeah. I was scared for a second. You know, but
gave me flashbacks.
Oh yeah, you do have bad knees. But don't worry, it ain't you. You're good. Unless you want to try it, but I'll be scared for you.
My favorite thing about that was Velveteen's just the look on his face, the look of bewilderment on his face when he did that.
That's a perfect thing to say, because he did not know what to say nor do once he did that. You know, it would just be like,
I think I said this last week on the show, but Velveteen is one of the best sellers and best facial expressions right now in wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
The man just look at him and you know if he's in pain or if he's happy. You can read everything about him in the ring, just the way he's very old school like that.
Yeah.
John Cena endorsed him, right? Might be the future. But then again, you know, John Cena's word, I don't know, might be, could be, we don't know. We know he's good. We know he's talented. And so is Ricochet. So who do we pick to win this match, Velveteen Dream or the one and only?
I want the Velveteen Dream to win. I want him to be the fucking WJ. I want him to end Brock Lesnar's run. I am all in on Velveteen Dream.
Yes.
I haven't felt this way about a young wrestler like this for a long time.
Long time, yeah.
Give Velveteen Dream every fucking thing.
Because what? How old is he? Like 23, 24?
I'll look at it right now. I can tell you he don't got a 5-year-old son like fucking Leo Rush does.
Leo Rush has two fucking kids.
Yes.
Right, yeah, he got
two.
Yeah, he's, Velveteen Dream is 22 years old.
Yeah, jeez. And Ricochet will be 30 this year.
Yeah.
Ain't he 30 yet?
How old is Leo Rush? Leo Rush 22 too?
I think he was 22, 23.
He's 23.
Yeah, Leo Rush is 23.
Yeah, he's gonna be 24 this year.
So, wait, Doomsday, did you pick a winner between the Dream and Ricochet?
I got Velveteen.
I'm going to go with, fuck it. I'm going to just say Ricochet, but then I don't even care who wins. I just want to see it. I'm pretty sure they're going to have another match after this.
Yeah. I don't.
You know?
This, to me, is the match that's probably going to be the craziest match on the show. I feel bad for anyone. I mean, I guess one of the matches we're going to talk about has more emotion and drive behind it, but I think as pure athleticism, nothing's going to top this match.
No,
too much personality in this already. If you saw what they was doing in that ladder match, this match could just be as good. Velveteen Dream and Aleister Black was really good.
The Twitter exchange between Ricochet and Velveteen Dream has been top notch too.
He's using Prince Puma as his fucking avatar. I love it. Velveteen, you are the best.
Yeah.
He should have used Skinny Ricochet, though. I've been waiting for him to bust out Skinny Ricochet.
Why didn't he unleash that? Because...
maybe not yet. Ricochet. Not yet.
Because Ricochet has been, like, putting out old stuff from him from, like...
Skinny? Put up the gift where fucking Cesaro threw Skinny Ricochet 12 feet in the air. I want to see that.
Yeah, like dude,
he's waiting for like Friday to like hit it.
Don't do it minute. All in one time. Just give him a little bit, give him a little bit, and then bam, do that. It's perfect. This is perfect. Now, would you mind seeing this match go on first?
No.
Start the show off hot though.
Yeah, they did WWE loves opening up shows hot. It's actually gotten to the point now where the only match I really want to watch on a regular WWE pay-per-view is the first match.
The first match, yeah.
I mean, what was it? I still haven't finished the last pay-per-view because of how bad it went after, like, the first three matches.
Oh, yeah. That shit went downhill quick.
I'm telling you, I am very close to just watching Westworld. Like, last time I taped Westworld while I was watching the pay-per-view, and by the time Westworld was over, like, why did I do that? Fuck this. And I turned it off and watched Westworld. I swear to God, they don't have a Money in the Bank match and it's happening exactly when Westworld comes on. I am turning the fucking the player off.
The next match, I believe, will not close the show. It's for the NXT Championship. Lars Sullivan, my client, going up against the champion, Aleister Black.
I think this match is going to work well between these two. Will it be Gargano Ciampa? No. But it's big man versus fast guy. You know, this can work. You know, and this will actually show what Lars Sullivan has to bring to the table. They've been building him up for a couple of months as this, you know, this mammoth monster and whatnot. And Aleister Black needs someone to beat. So I don't think Lars Sullivan's winning no title. I think if they do that, that's too early. Even if Aleister's getting a call up or whatever. Nah, I think it's too early for that. Aleister needs to win this match, keep him down there for a while. And that's what I think.
One of my biggest complaints about WWE right now is they have too many monsters and too many big guys. I think, like, Authors of Pain or even Insanity for a point, part of the problem with them is you have the Bludgeon Brothers now that you're booking really hard. You got too many big men. You got, you got Braun Strowman on the thing. You have too many of these really big, powerful guys you don't want to be jobbers. And you can't do that for your wrestling company if you're going to put a lot of focus on them. I mean, Lars right now in NXT works. I fear, but I don't think putting the title on him is a good idea, and I definitely wouldn't call him up until they figure out what the fuck they want to do with all the big men they have on their regular rosters, too.
So what do you do with him?
Honestly, that's hard to say. NXT is fine right now, but if he gets called up, I'm pretty sure he's going to get buried. I would have him lose to Aleister Black because there's no reason for Aleister to lose. And then have him, you know, book him kind of like Roman Reigns in the sense that Roman Reigns is ridiculously strong, but you can still beat Roman Reigns. You know what I mean? I'm going to use Roman Reigns as the standard for how to book a guy that you want to be super strong, but you don't mind him losing occasionally. That should be the goal, because I don't want Lars to be the next Braun Strowman, because we have a Braun Strowman right now.
Right.
Yeah. And Braun Strowman right now is great and has probably more personality than Lars. I do think it was too quick to pull Lars up to this match, but I guess they really didn't have any good heels for him to face. Even though,
I mean, there's always the North American Championship. You know, maybe he could, like, chase it like Adam Cole loses to somebody, or
Adam Cole is going to lose that title to Walter, and then Walter's going to lose that title to Yujiro Takahashi from New Japan. Did you see that shit?
No.
Someone posted this thing because Walter's wrestling him at Evolve for the Northern title, but Walter's just been booked to fight Yujiro Takahashi at the New Japan Rev Pro shows in a few weeks, too.
Nice.
So someone was like, hey, Yujiro could be the North American heavyweight champion. That would be fucking hilarious. Walter's gonna fucking kill Yujiro, though.
The real main event of the show is a Chicago Street Fight. Why? Because they're in Chicago. Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano. And boy, Ciampa's head sliced and diced. Man, that was gnarly.
I saw the picture before I saw it on the NXT show, so I was just like, oh, Jesus, what happened? This man was gushing. It was just crazy. I didn't think his head would have got sliced from that
the little Tron thing. I've never seen it happen before, but whatever. Gargano. I think this might have to be the last chapter between these two. I think Gargano should win.
You know what? I'm going to say Ciampa wins, and then he challenges Aleister Black.
Yeah, you did say that last show, didn't you? As far as, like, takeover.
Yeah.
He was like,
yeah, I said Aleister if Ciampa won, he faces match, Ciampa. He would challenge Aleister Black. But I think Gargano winning two in a row, while it would be beautiful because Gargano is my favorite of the two, I think Ciampa winning makes a little more sense. I think they're going to want to drag this out a little more. And then eventually it ends with not just Gargano beating Ciampa, but then Gargano winning the title.
Right. Doomsday, what do you think?
I got Ciampa.
I don't want to see Gargano lose, yo.
I don't either, but especially if this match goes on last, they're not going to give it to Gargano again.
That means they have to fight each other again.
Yes. Yeah, this is going to end next WrestleMania.
Is this going to be oversaturated?
Not if they take a month or so off, a takeover or so off. If Ciampa wins and then wrestles the next takeover against, you know, Black for the title, and then maybe go back to it a takeover later, I think it's fine. But I think because the takeovers are spread apart so well, that it's not going to be as saturated.
Let the beat build.
Yeah.
I want Gargano to win, because you know you can't mess with DIY like that, man. Seriously, I want to beat them guys. Everybody hates them, but Ciampa, I don't know. Why don't they start to show off with this match and leave the NXT title alone last? Someone comes out the crowd and like how Adam Cole did.
And are you telling me Keith Lee is going to make his debut on the show?
I mean, I don't know. You're the booker, man. I don't know. What is it?
You know, honestly, I would, if I was booking this, I wouldn't have Keith Lee debut here. I would have Keith Lee and Donovan Dijak beat the shit out of the tag team, too, whoever wins the tag team match. Who's going to beat Keith Lee and Donovan Dijak?
Dijak's already in a team, though, because he's with that Brennan Williams otaku football player dude.
Fuck him.
Yeah, fuck him. It's Keith Lee.
I want to see the powerbomb backbreaker, choke backbreaker finished again.
That was NXT TakeOver Chicago.
And then there's no show the next day.
I know, right? And now we move up to Money in the Bank. First pre-show, the Bludgeon Brothers versus Gallows and Anderson for the tag team titles of SmackDown. So, do y'all give a fuck?
Wait, hold on. They don't have the Cruiserweight title as the pre-show main event?
That's not what I'm saying. I don't even see a Cruiserweight title here.
They literally just like, we're doing everything on 205 Live now. Fuck this.
Probably. I don't see it here. Bludgeon Brothers or Luke Gallows and Carl Anderson.
Who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
I like Luke Harper. I just wish he was a singles wrestler doing his thing. They fucked him up, man. He was over for a good solid minute, and then they fucked him over.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't the guy they wanted.
And one of the matches that we have here is Bobby Lashley versus Sami Zayn.
The funny thing is that one could be good, but like,
it could be good if you gave a shit.
Right.
It could be good if you gave a shit. If you didn't give a shit, then match is trash. I'm going to choose Bobby Lashley.
Well, yeah,
Sami Zayn is a loser.
Yeah, because they, for some reason, and I think Meltzer said that, is they tried to book Sami like a new Daniel Bryan, but they don't even understand how they booked Daniel Bryan to become a star. I mean, because like, Daniel Bryan at least won some titles during his thing. How do you book Sami Zayn like Daniel Bryan and never give him a title at all, either? It's no fucking sense.
You know, most of the stuff they do don't make sense.
Yes, and God. Thank God I only ever watch pay-per-views, because if I was watching these weekly shows, I'd even have more of a headache. I don't care about this match.
I've tried to avoid the headache these days, and that's why I've like only watched like a few minutes of like Raw and SmackDown and just kind of tuned it out after that.
You want a real headache? This is a real headache. Jinder Mahal versus Roman Reigns.
Oh, God.
Who's the good guy?
According to the fans, Jinder Mahal is the good guy.
Yeah.
But to the office, Roman Reigns is still a good guy.
At this point, I don't know what they could do to put Roman Reigns more over. He should have just beat Brock Lesnar for the title.
Then this match would have been for the Universal Championship.
Yes, but we would have been over. But see, the difference is, if he had beaten Brock Lesnar for the title, it wouldn't have been less of a deal now. But we know he's going to beat Jinder Mahal. Well, we know that this match is inconsequential because he's going to have to go beat Brock Lesnar for the title eventually. So if he wins or loses, it's like whatever. We know where Roman Reigns ends up. If he was the Universal Champion, we would know how this match goes and be like, okay, he beats Jinder. I wonder who the next challenger is.
So who you got winning this?
I got Roman not giving a fuck.
Yeah, I don't care.
Damn. Oh, man. All right. Big Cass versus Daniel Bryan.
Oh, God.
Damn, not this one either?
They already had this match. We know Daniel Bryan's probably going to lose when he should win.
Yeah.
We want Daniel Bryan to wrestle someone more important. Because, I mean, I didn't see the Shelton Benjamin match, but that sounded like it was good.
It was good. Yeah, it was good. That's the only thing I remember from SmackDown.
Yeah,
besides women each other up.
Yeah, we want Daniel Bryan wrestling Shinsuke. We want him wrestling AJ. We want him wrestling The Miz. We saw him beat Cat and then destroy him on the mic a few weeks later.
Yeah.
This feud should be done. I mean, this match is marginally more interesting than the other matches, but I'm worried that this is just part two of a boring, long-term, program just so they can keep him away from The Miz for another 3 months.
Yeah.
So I have Big Cass winning, but I still don't care.
I'm gonna have let's go Big Cass. Next up we're gonna have a championship match for the Intercontinental Championship. Seth Rollins versus Elias. They don't even call him Samson no more. It's Elias. Okay, so who's gonna win this? Oh god damn it, this either?
I don't care.
I care more about this one than Doomsday does.
No, I honestly don't care at all. I don't care. Jesus Christ.
Wow.
I think Seth Rollins has had a couple good matches, it sounds like.
No, he's had some great matches, but I just don't care. Shit.
All right. Do you not care about Seth or just in general?
Like, this whole feud, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
But he touches instruments and he's like,
I don't understand the booking for Elias, but, I think some of what he says is amusing. And I do like the electric chair turned into a powerbomb, so.
Yeah, I like that shit too, so. But it should be a good match, but I don't care. Yeah, yeah.
I just think marginally I care about this match more than most of the other matches so far. I agree with you. Most of this card is fucking skippable. They haven't really built these guys. They feel like they're plodding around. These are dumb stories. Athletically, I think this match will be more interesting than some of the other matches. But let's be honest, there's only two matches on this show we really fucking care about, so.
Right.
Yeah, it is not the Intercontinental title.
No.
It is the WWE SmackDown Women's Championship.
Oh, shut the fuck Asuka. Up.
Who's going to win? Because, boy, if Carmella beats Asuka, she will be the best in the world.
Carmella beats Asuka, I am never watching a SmackDown Women's match again. Like, you had Asuka lose to Charlotte, and then Charlotte lose to freaking Carmella?
And Carmella beats Asuka.
And look, I will admit I am a bit of a Carmella apologist. I think she has a good heel gimmick. I think she can do some I've seen her do some interesting things, like some of the way she gets into her finisher fucking surprises me. But she has no grounded foundation. She should have been in NXT longer. She should have worked with more women to get where she is. And they could have built her as a better wrestler. But she's not. She has a couple of interesting moves, a good heel persona. She should not be in the fucking title picture, let alone the champion.
So that means we give the belt to Asuka then, because Carmella had that briefcase.
There is a rumor going that our boy, the intergender heavyweight champion, the man who was not scared of Matt Riddle, might be returning at this show. So I am worried.
Oh, man. Okay, so...
I heard that was just plain rumor and it got shut down. I don't know.
Hey, hopefully it did, but the only way I see Carmella getting out of this with the title that is even logical is if Ellsworth costs Asuka the championship. And then we get an Asuka-Ellsworth match, which would make me not stop watching SmackDown women's matches if Ellsworth is the reason Carmella wins.
Yeah, because Carmella had that briefcase for a while, finally cashed in, and she only held the belt for, like, what, a month, maybe two?
I think the problem is that they didn't know where to have her cash in. They basically made Charlotte the champion, and they were like, she shouldn't be Charlotte, and then they booked to Charlotte to Asuka, and then someone in WWE was like, we waited too damn long.
They waited too long.
That was the problem.
All right, well... Fuck that match. Next up is for the WWE Women's Championship of Raw. Ronda Rousey going up against Nia Jax. Ain't like most girls going up against the UFC champion.
Care.
You don't care about this, Nia Rousey. Shit's a draw.
I have such strong indifference. I am mad they're booking this match now. But I'm also kind of curious. I have no clue how I feel about this match.
I don't know who's going to win this match. I really can't tell you.
Yeah, I really don't care.
Dang. Ronda Rousey. She beat Triple H at WrestleMania.
Yeah, they should have just booked her against Triple H. Then I'd give a damn. And I hate Triple H singles matches. So.
But this will be intergender matches.
Stop. The recording shut off again.
It did? I don't
know what was going on. Very, very depressing. Just disheartening. All right, 5, 4, 3, 2.
Like she beat Triple H. She beat Triple H's wife with Kurt Angle. Obviously, she ain't probably even need the help. And now she's getting this title shot, I guess, to bring in fans. And mind you, this is Chicago,
they
so they
give Ronda Rousey a title shot. They should have made her fight Seth Rollins.
So is she going to lose to Nia Jax?
No, Ronda Rousey's winning the title.
You say this with the utmost disgust and boredom.
Honestly, the only way I'd be interested, I mean, I think Ronda Rousey, I mean, is legitimately can beat most of the women in WWE. Why not just have her wrestle the Miz? Her versus Seth Rollins would have been a much more interesting match for both of them.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, because you would see the match and you go, well, I'm pretty sure Ronda Rousey's a better grappler and striker than Seth Rollins. What does Seth Rollins have? His high-flying ability. And his abs, I guess. I don't know.
So, we don't give a shit about this match either. Okay. Last man standing match for the WWE Championship.
Oh, God.
Nakamura Shinsuke versus AJ Styles.
If Shinsuke Nakamura doesn't win this title, he should quit the company and just, well, he should just quit.
And running. Join Austin Aries because he quit the company too and Neville quit the company too.
Go to TNA Impact.
Right. Oh, man. That'll do it right there.
Hey, but guess what?
What?
I don't care.
Still? This match, the low blow at WrestleMania with the build.
WrestleMania, then they screwed it up at the Saudi Arabia show, and then they did a terrible match at the last pay-per-view. They went from having the crowd interested to, man, why are we even getting this again? This is WWE's problem, is when they think the audience really likes something, they'll overbook the shit out of it, and then they'll ram it down your throat, and then they'll be like, I thought you wanted this. I did, and then you fucked it up. It's like you ordered a steak, and then they just did well done and added a bunch of nonsense to that shit. Like, this isn't what the picture of the food looked like in the menu. What the fuck?
Okay. So this is not Wrestle Kingdom.
No, this is not Wrestle Kingdom.
Jesus. Even after the third. So this is the third match or the fourth match?
I don't know. Oh, wait. No. This is their,
Yeah, WrestleMania.
Actually,
It might be the fifth.
The fifth?
Yeah.
WrestleMania, Saudi Arabia.
and the last show.
The last show and this show.
Yeah, so this is the fifth match.
Yeah, because they had, yeah, they definitely had a SmackDown one too.
Oh, so that, oh, so they might be the same. Okay. Yeah, they totally screwed this one.
Because the SmackDown one, Shinsuke one, I definitely remember that one, like from like.
So three like, pay-per-view some, matches, this one and Wrestle Kingdom. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the SmackDown.
WrestleMania.
Yeah. Well, so, yeah, six yeah, matches. King,
yeah.
As far as WWE, yeah. This is their fourth.
Oh, no, this is their fifth as far as WWE goes.
Fifth. Yeah.
Fuck. Okay. This gotta end now. And Nakamura, you gotta do something, because since you've been up on main roster, I mean, yeah, the Royal Rumble win was nice.
The Royal Rumble is one of my favorite matches of the year. I will admit that. And then WWE, that's actually my only WWE match on my favorites match list so far, to be honest with you. There's been good matches, but that was the only one I truly was super happy about afterwards.
Did the stock for AJ Styles go down?
Actually, the stock for AJ Styles has been going down for the last year. That last set of feuds he did with Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens was annoying as fuck.
Oh, shit. I forgot about
this.
It's like they stopped giving him some... What? They should just have him feud with The Miz. The Miz would make AJ Styles great again.
And Ronda Rousey should face Nakamura and make him great again.
Yes. Yes, that's the card I want.
But, you know, hey, that's what you want. Then that means they're going to have to get that well-done steak that you didn't order.
Yeah, because fuck them. All right.
Money in the Bank ladder match for the women's championship contract. Ladies first. Charlotte, Ember Moon, Alexa Bliss, Becky Lynch, Lana, Naomi, Sasha Banks, and Natalya. So, who's winning? Who's definitely not winning? Who doesn't have a shot in hell?
Lana has no shot in fucking hell.
Has no shot. Why is she
but
in
Lana
this match?
Will have a great entrance because a dude's going to come out and either rap or sing a song, and it's going to be beautiful.
Okay.
Props to Aiden English. He's getting paid to show up on the main card and do nothing.
Yeah.
So, he's gonna get the royalties on the video, on the DVDs, and everything, and he ain't gotta do shit. Lana has no chance, but thank you, Amy.
No chance in hell. Okay, all right, thank you. Natalya, does she have a chance in hell?
Actually, yeah, I think so.
I think she had that women's title run, and I think that's it. I think that's done for her. She thinks she's playing support. Does Sasha Banks have a chance in hell? Knowing she's been losing forever. So if she wins Money in the Bank,
Bailey's
she's going to have to show the title ring and Carmella.
Bailey's going to cost her shot.
Shit, Bailey's not even in this. Oh, yeah. Damn. Sorry, okay. There. Okay, so no. Naomi, does she have a chance in hell?
Yes, I like Naomi. I love her. I want all the best.
I think she does, but
I like her, but I don't think she has a shot.
Because imagine her with the briefcase. She's going to be losing. Oh, shit. Sasha Banks going to win.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think Sasha got it.
Becky Lynch?
I think they need to pull the fucking trigger on Becky Lynch and give it to her. She should have won last time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And Carmella won in that dumb shit.
And yeah, did Becky twice. Finally beat Charlotte or something?
Well, Becky and Charlotte are 4-4.
All right. Okay.
So what about Becky
or Ember Moon? Honestly,
Ember Moon. Yeah, new chick. She new got blood. A chance in hell.
New blood.
Look, as new long blood. As Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss don't win, I'm happy.
Whatever Charlotte wins, it can add on to her legacy.
I don't want Charlotte to win. She's already won the Raw Championship multiple times. She had the SmackDown Championship. Same with Alexa Bliss. Let's give some other girls an opportunity.
Yeah, but you know WWE's main goal is to build her legacy, so I would not be surprised.
Well, they don't got to do it all this year. Next year she can win the Royal Rumble. The next year she can win Money in the Bank.
I mean, no, they're adamant about trying to.
And aren't they trying to make her main event WrestleMania? Like, eventually?
Yeah, they're gunning for that.
Okay. Look, I know that's their goal, but I don't want them winning this Money in the Bank. I mean, Charlotte only just lost the title. Alexa Bliss technically also feels like she just lost the title, too. We could give them until Royal Rumble to win something big.
Okay. All right, so no Charlotte Flair, no Alexa Bliss.
I mean, besides, if Charlotte, I mean, look, whoever, if someone from Raw wins, they're probably going to end up fighting Ronda Rousey. Do you really want Charlotte or Alexa Bliss to wrestle Ronda Rousey?
Well, that's not guaranteed, because that means that, I mean, it could be Nia Jax, we don't know.
Yeah, we know. Look, if Nia Jax beats Ronda Rousey, I'll be so fucking happy, but I also think there was shenanigans involved and someone cost her the match.
So you're picking Sasha Banks to win?
No, I'm picking either Ember Moon or Becky Lynch.
And Doomsday, who you get?
I got Becky Lynch.
And your dark horse?
Sasha Banks.
I'm going to say Sasha Banks. Number one, dark horse going to be Becky Lynch. She's the first SmackDown Women's Champion, and that's it? And how long ago was that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
and Becky Lynch, I would like to see her do a one-on-one match with Asuka, who I'm assuming is going to win the SmackDown Women's title. That's kind of why, also. But the reason, like I said, I don't believe Sasha Banks is going to win it, because she still has that big thing with Bayley happening. And I think Bayley's going to show up to this, and something's going to happen. But hey, if Sasha Banks wins, fine.
I only say Sasha Banks because she's a loser. And when you get that Money in the Bank briefcase, you lose a lot of matches until you cash in. That's the formula. That's always how it's been. There's never been someone that kept the briefcase and kept winning matches to show that, hey, whoever is the champion, I will win that match because I've been on a roll. That has never happened. They got lucky. They were the underdogs and whatnot. Okay, the Money in the Bank ladder match for the World Championship. So this is not for the Universal? I don't fucking know. I think it depends on
who gets it. No, like, it's for your choosing. So, like, whoever, because it's dual branded, so whoever, okay, so if you, say you're a Raw superstar and you won the briefcase, basically, you would be gunning for the Universal title. And SmackDown will be the WWE title. Yep.
Okay.
So basically the same concept as the women's one.
Alright. So they have Samoa Joe, Kevin Owens, Rusev Mashka, Bobby Roode, The Miz, Finn Balor, Braun Strowman, and the New Day. One member of the New Day. Who would you pick from the New Day? Because I'm picking Big E.
Yeah, I got Big E.
I'm going with Kofi so he can do some high-flying shit.
Oh, shit. Yeah, this is his type of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't know. Maybe I feel like they're going to try to give it to Big E to go after. I don't know.
I'm going to pick Big E to be in this match.
We got some big guys in there, like Rusev and
Strowman and Joe Owens. They really do got some big guys already in this match. So I would choose Big E, and I would choose Big E to win.
Oh, yeah, me too, most definitely.
I'm choosing Big E to win. Dark Horse, not Bobby Roode. I don't think he has no chance in hell. Rusev. They've been fucking with him for a while.
Dark Horse for me would... Shit. I don't know. Fuck.
What about Miz?
I'm picking either Miz or Finn Balor to win, just because it seems like...
Oh, shit. Miz. I was about to say, has anyone won Money in the Bank twice?
You know what? I got Samoa Joe for Dark Horse. My Dark Horse. Hey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. So Big E or Samoa Joe.
So Big E and Balor, because Balor has not had his Universal title, like, I don't know, rematch or whatever the fuck. He just never had.
Never did either.
All right. Oh, shit. Yeah, you're right. Okay, fuck it. I'm going to see Big E and
Braun, I don't know what the...
we all agree Bobby Roode's losing, though, right?
Yeah.
Oh, most definitely.
Okay, that's all that
Kevin
really
Owens
matters.
Is losing, too. I don't know why Kevin Owens is losing, though. Because I think he can do it. But I think he already had his run. So I'm looking at people who haven't had a run yet. Big E would definitely be the surprise. And I think it'll be fun to have those three with that Money in the Bank briefcase and being like, and you know the celebration they're going to have if Big E wins a world title, whether it be SmackDown or Raw. It'll be great. It'll be something new. And he's black. So it would just be great. Depending on who he beats. Because I think if it'll be Braun Strowman winning the title and he cashes in on him, everybody's going to hate him for it. Same thing with Balor. You know? So, I'm going to just say... I'm going to say Big E and Finn Balor. And you said Big E and Samoa Joe, do you say?
Yes, correct. That is correct.
And you, West Side, you said...
Miz or Balor.
Okay, but, that was...
I wouldn't be surprised if the Miz loses. I just think he needs to be back to being the top heel on whatever show he is, because he is the top heel on whatever show he is on.
Right.
And as far as I'm concerned, he still should be the IC champion, but, you know, whatever.
And next, the last show I'm going to be talking about is the United Kingdom Championship Tournament that is happening on... June the 18th and June the 19th. June the 18th is going to have the qualifiers, semifinals, and the finals. The matches that they have on that, well, spoiler, because I tried to watch it. I couldn't find a way to watch it. So these are the guys that are going in. Westside, you said you don't know, you didn't want to know the spoilers?
I didn't, though. Because some of these wrestlers have been tweeting out them winning the first round matches. I think I know one or two guys who won. But I think I've effectively tried to forget.
Yeah, I could not find a way to watch. If I watched it, I definitely would have commented on it, but I could not find it. But here are the matches. We can book them if we want to, or we can just keep going. Actually, before we do the tournament, the matches that they have here for June the 18th on that show, the Fatal 4-Way match to determine the number one contender for the NXT Women's Championship will be held on that next day. Killer Kelly, Jenny, who I believe is the Progress Women's Champion, Isla Dawn, and Toni Storm, who has been in the Mae Young Classic last year.
Yeah, I believe she signed the WWE UK contract.
Okay.
Which might be why she's recently dropped the top title in Stardom, too.
Mm-hmm.
Because Kagetsu is now the Kagetsu and Mobo Watanabe are the two top stars in Stardom right now. So.
Now, I'm probably going to pick Toni Storm to do that. Out of just popularity. The six-man tag, the Undisputed Era of Adam Cole, baby, Kyle O'Reilly and Roger Strong going up against British Strong Style of Trent Seven, Tyler Bate, Mark Bash Mountain, and a UK champion, Pete Dunne, who will be defending this title the next day. Far as the qualifiers for the UK tournament, they have Gentleman Jack Gallagher versus, I believe, Progress Tag Team Champion Zach Gibson. Probably going to pick Zach Gibson for this one. What are you guys picking?
Who's the other guy?
Zach Gibson versus Jack Gallagher.
Yeah, I don't care. I never seen Zach Gibson work. I guess Jack Gallagher.
Yeah, I don't care either.
All right. Flash Morgan Webster versus Jordan Devlin, who has been trained by Finn Balor, because they said it like 1,000 times.
I believe I didn't like Jordan Devlin, so I'm against him at all turns right now.
I do believe you are correct. I don't know. Maybe this is face. I don't know. I'm going to go with Morgan Webster because he's cool. I like that guy. Joe Coffey, the Iron Man, going up against Dave Massive, who is with Mastiff. That's a T in it, isn't it? Okay, yeah. Yeah, Dave Mastiff. I'm going to go with Mastiff.
I don't know either guy, so I'm going with Joe Coffey because I keep thinking his name is Joe Coffin.
yeah, Joe Coffey.
Joe Coffey. I've seen Joe Coffey on the WCPW shows a couple of times. He's not that bad. He wears a man bun. He's okay. Hate his boots. They're white boots. They are shitty white boots. They're not shitty little boots. They're the shitty white boots. He needs new boots now. I've seen Dave Mastiff like wrestle maybe like once or twice. I think. He's with the Ring Camp, right?
I don't think so.
The only Ring Camp guys I know are Thatcher and Walter.
I thought he was sponsored by Suplex, not...
Yeah. He is sponsored with Suplex.
Yeah, I don't think he has anything to do with that.
Alright, and the last one is Ashton Smith, who I don't know who it is, but he's going up against the Kiwi Buzzsaw Travis Banks, who I'm predicting is going to win.
Yeah.
You know what? I think Travis Banks is going to win the whole shit.
You think so?
And I still haven't seen a Travis Banks match.
Yeah, he's not that bad, but I don't think he's that good either.
Hey, all like I know is that
he was in WCPW also.
All I know is that he lost his Fight Club championship to Mako Satomura, so that makes her the best wrestler in Britain.
I've seen him wrestle a couple times, but like I said, he's good. He great. Like I know a handful of people that are probably better than he is, but he's good. He's real good. Just not great. Not yet. So on the June 19th, Pete Dunne will face the winner of that tournament. Adam Cole will be defending his NXT North American Championship against someone. And you said it was going to be against Walter? Or is that on a different show?
But that's actually going to be at Evolve.
Okay. That'll be at Evolve then?
So, yeah, you're going to see Adam Cole with the giant purple bleeding chest.
Ooh, you're already predicting that, eh?
Damn. Yeah.
Shayna Baszler will be defending her women's championship against Toni Storm, who I actually booked. The Undisputed Era, Kyle O'Reilly and Robert Strong, they're going to be defending their tag team titles against God knows who. And in a special tag team match, EC3 and the Velveteen Dream going up against Aleister Black and the one and only Ricochet.
Yeah, that sounds like the best match of the show.
I heard it isn't like Ricochet temporarily pulled from shit? Cause like,
they just said that he'll be fine for the takeover.
Okay.
There's a whole Twitter moment thing where it says, Triple H clarifies that Ricochet is not injured. I didn't have to read the rest of it. I'm like, well, that's all I need to know. That's going to be the match of the weekend, I predict.
Yeah,
right. All right.
That's all the cards I got. The only tough enough guy to have a 5-star match, so congratulations to him.
Yeah.
All right. And unfortunately, I gotta go.
Oh, no.
Gotta go. I'm here. I was here. I showed up, and I'm going to be here next week.
Oh, no. We were gonna talk about video game stuff, and
I know.
We were.
Talk video game stuff. Yeah, man.
Yeah, E3 was like this whole week.
Yeah,
well,
man.
I know that, but like,
and it's all, and there's a whole bunch of WWE related shit involving E3.
Yeah.
Like, if you weren't paying attention.
No,
I don't think I cared enough. Look, I saw the Smash Brothers trailer. That's all that mattered.
Yeah, I was looking for that too, Super Smash. But no, I do gotta run.
All right, we have some important news, but sure.
Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah, be that guy.
Sorry. Don't hate me. Oh, and Doomsday, I'm going to hit you up about the Ring of Honor show later.
Oh, yeah. That Ring of Honor show.
Yeah, no. It's still a coin flip with me.
It's still a coin flip. Yeah.
It's still a coin flip with me.
All the good seats are gone for the most part. Yeah. But, yeah, so Pootie is out of here, and I guess we can start on the news.
Yep.
Le news.
All right.
So, Scott.
All right, what do I have? Let's start with the sad news then, okay?
People died?
Yes. CMLL wrestler and trainer Archangel just recently passed away. He was 51.
R.I.P.
R.I.P. I don't know much about him, but apparently he was very important to training a lot of the young guys. He trained some of the women. Matt Taven just tweeted out
RIP to him too. So, you know, he was a very one of the older CMLL dudes, so he'd been with the company for a while. Alright, sticking with some Lucha Libre. Rey Fénix did actually have his debut on Friday. I actually did watch the match. He teamed with Caristico and Mystico against Negro Casas, Barbero, Cavanero, and Ultimo Guerrero. Anyway, the guy on the Dave Meltzer show thing said that L.A. Park and Rey Fénix has been helped CMLL's attendance on this Friday show. They normally do about 6,000 people in Arena Mexico, which actually can hold over 1,500 people. Well, 15,000 people. But this last show, they did 9,000, so they went up 3,000 more people.
Nice.
Rey Fénix is also scheduled to be on this next Friday show. It looks like they're going to be using some of these freelancer guys to do Friday shows if they're available.
Right. See how wrestling prospers when people work together.
Yes. I mean, the only thing I can see why CMLL doesn't like to bring these guys in is because CMLL is traditional Lucha Libre, which is kind of a lost art in Mexico. Because Rey Fénix, I don't think he's ever wrestled a Lucha Libre match like that before, where it's not just two out of three falls, but each team has a captain and counts for one full fall. So it's a different beast. But also, CMLL is, I don't like to use the term family-friendly, but they are more of an all-ages kind of promotion. So they don't do, like, really hardcore matches, and they don't really like booking guys who are more, you know...
They're traditionalists,
yeah,
basically.
They're very traditionalists, which is kind of why them and AAA have always been different, because AAA was the dirtier of the companies, the more violent, the more loud-mouthed of the two. So, you know. But, yeah. But if it works, it works. So good for them. All right. In some indie news, Molly Holly will be returning to wrestling as she leads a team as the Mighty Molly during King Chikara King of Trios with AJ Paraha, who I've not yet seen, and Solo Darling, who I just realized her dog is actually a service dog. I don't know why it didn't occur to me.
A service dog, really?
Yeah, because she takes it everywhere, and I always was wondering, but I saw a picture she posted, and he has one of those emotional support dog jackets on it.
Oh, it's one of those. Okay, gotcha.
So I'm assuming the dog is an emotional support dog. Because, you know, okay. If you follow her Instagram or her Twitter, she takes it not just to every wrestling show, but she seems to take it everywhere.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So, interesting team. There's actually a great picture of her dog and Jimmy Jacobs at a show where they were standing behind the curtain. The dog was kind of peeking under, and then Jimmy Jacobs was peeking up behind it. It's actually kind of a funny picture. But, all right. So, also, we have Lufisto stated that she found out one of the reasons she never got into WWE is because apparently someone in the WWE didn't like her and talked negatively about her.
Damn, that's fucked up.
Yeah, she didn't say who, so I was looking around to see if I can guess something, but no one's quite sure who it could be. In other WWE news, or let's say rumors, because WWE is going for it with their WWE UK show. Well, guess who lives right now in the United Kingdom?
I don't know.
Neville.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
WWE is trying to talk Neville into finishing his contract for the WWE UK show. So, that might actually... I don't know if Neville would do it, but if he did, it probably worth
it. So, that's probably their ultimatum, like, all right, we'll let you go if you give us this buzz real quick.
Yeah, finish your contract. They would probably still book him as their top guy on there because he's Neville. And, you know, people want... Right. Like, you know, Neville's great. So we'll see how that goes. And just breaking news, the hotel rooms of Paige, Lana, and Rusev were robbed at a hotel. And,
wow. Because I just heard Paige.
Yeah, well, no. Ryan Satin tweeted out, and Rusev actually responded to him and was like, oh, no, I fucking called the cops, especially after the guest services told me it was my fault for having my stuff in my hotel room.
Wow.
Let me see if I can find the tweet. I'll just look up.
Oh. Wow.
So. But yeah, Rusev.
They're like, it's your fault. Wow.
Well, actually, I can just look up Rusev and do it Where are you, Russo? You know who I'm looking for, Twitter. Stop acting like there's other people with the parties. Right here. So Ryan Satin said he had called to get clarification. Russo responded, like, dig in, I'm prosecuting. Especially after the head of security said it's my fault for leaving my stuff in the room. And he responded, and there was some other stuff. He had a do not disturb sign on the door at the time to keep the cleaning crews out and all that, just in case. So if it sounds like it had to be an inside job.
Oh yeah! Wow.
Yeah, and you, who the fuck says that? That head of security is getting his ass fired.
Oh yeah, he should definitely get fired.
Yeah, it'd be like, it's like, well, it's his fault for what? You got a hotel room. You don't want people coming in and stealing shit. I mean, you know, you're supposed to trust the people cleaning those rooms and shit. Fuck that. But yeah, so Brett, that's breaking news right now. Rusev is livid, and I understand why. I mean, you don't want the, you know, Bulgarian brute to come after you. Let's be honest here. Machka. And that is all the wrestling news I have. I wasn't paying that much attention.
Nice. All right. My stuff. WWE is actually last week they did their For Your Consideration event thing. So apparently they're actually gunning for an Emmy. Emmy nom, at least.
For what?
I don't know. Like, I guess they finally embraced not, like, caring about what's real and what's fake and scripted and blah, and just, like, said, hey, we deserve to get some credit for shit. But to be honest, like, I don't see the point. I don't see the point either, especially when the product isn't that good. Raw and SmackDown, you know?
Yeah, none of these shows are either close to Emmy worthy. They don't even know. They don't even have their own goddamn continuity. Real shows have continuity. They don't.
Yeah.
They think their crowd is going to forget everything after 2 weeks. It's stupid. Fuck that.
Yeah. It's so dumb. I don't know. Like, there's like few things in WWE that has any real continuity. Like, the best continuity so far in the past, like, maybe 10 years or so has been the whole Daniel Bryan Miz thing. That's like, the best continuity they have right now.
Yes, and it's something that they don't want to follow up with because they don't want to give away, again, I'm assuming they don't want to give away this big match, which I get,
right.
But they're not.
But they gotta give us something
interesting with Miz or Daniel Bryan. So
yeah, I don't know. What else? Did you announce the new general manager of WWE's UK brand?
No, but you can. I know who it is. I forgot.
Well, yeah. So the Johnny Saint is the new general manager. So. Good on him. So, of course, he is a British wrestling legend, revered competitor across the globe, and all that, world of sport, yada, 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 and all that. So, good on him.
I've seen a couple Johnny Saint matches, not in his prime, but, you know, as an older gent, and he's still really good.
Good as an older dude, yeah.
Yeah, if you're into that world of sports style, there's very few guys who are as smooth as he is in the ring.
Yeah.
And I mean, I know Walter spoke very highly about, because I guess he was there when Johnny Saint and Mike Quackenbush had their match in Europe, in Germany.
Yeah.
Because he talked very highly about that match too. So, I mean, even his stuff as an older gentleman has been very influential. I also think, if I remember right, it was like Chris Hero might have been one of the guys who really brought a new generation of attention to him, because he was a big fan of his, and he would he actually went to Europe and met him in person, and he would get try to get other guys to watch his stuff, you know, because he was, you know, because Hero trained a bunch of people too.
Yeah.
So cool. Maybe we'll get Johnny Saint, and maybe we'll get Neville.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. Pacific Rim Uprising director Steve DeKnight, who also was the showrunner for his first season of Daredevil, among other things. He actually wanted Batista to star in the God of War movie. So
that makes sense. He's big. He's fun to watch.
Yeah. So I saw Hotel Artemis over the weekend, and Batista was easily one of my favorite parts of that movie. Yeah. Very entertaining. He is a healthcare professional. Oh man, but yeah, but of course people welcomed the possible casting of Batista with open arms, but the most criticism that was drawn was for DeKnight, because apparently people hate Pacific Rim Uprising, so they're not even trying to give him another chance at anything, I guess. I don't know, because I actually enjoyed Pacific Rim Uprising. There was some bullshit in it, but I still enjoyed myself. It's whatever. Hip hop news. Enzo Amore is now hanging out with 50 Cent, and he could be seen in a video threatening Michael B. Jordan or Adonis. Whatever, I don't know, because he kept switching between the two and talking about Sylvester Stallone and Rocky, and it was really fucking dumb. 50 Cent also hangs out with 6ix9ine, Tekashi, so he basically hangs out with all the pieces of shit. But yeah, fucking Enzo Amore hanging out with 50 Cent, and he released yet another fucking music video. Yes, he did. A second one. Not as much attention drawn to that one, but it was still fucking bad. Still fucking terrible. Yeah. Fuck Enzo Amore. Jesus. But that's not all for Enzo Amore. Apparently, he actually got booked at an indie show. So, in August, he will be at a House of Glory show in New York. So, they were the first ones to grab him up. Gross. Okay. In other news, looks like Soo Young is trying her hardest to make sure that Rich Swan is seen in a positive light. She had tweeted earlier on Wednesday that he is very good in the ring, yada, yada, yada. He doesn't beat her, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, so basically she's just trying to secure the bag as much as possible. Yeah, I kind of feel bad for them, you know? Because it could have been, one thing, and now it's just a big, huge, huge thing now. Well, even though it was pretty bad, what he fucking did. That shit was fucking terrible, but shit, I don't know, man. What are your thoughts on it?
I'm sorry, man, I kind of got distracted by this bullshit stuff about that actress from Stranger Things, Millie Bobby Brown. Apparently gay Twitter decided to make fun of her for no reason.
Really? Why?
Somebody just started this fake joke about how Millie Bobby Brown is a homophobe, and sort of gay Twitter sort of just did it as a joke. The idea is that, you know, celebrities, you know, are problematic. For some reason, she's become the the homophobic actress, even though there's no logical reason, and she just deactivated her Twitter.
That's Jesus Christ! What are up with fans these days? They're fucking horrible.
It's and you know, it really pisses me off because these are the same people who are mad that when real people make homophobic things, but they chase off a girl who had absolutely nothing to do with it.
Nothing to do with it. Yeah,
and they're all like, "This is gay," and they're like, "This meme is gays only. No heads involved." Fuck you and your bullshit, self-hating, deprecating ass. Like, I support LGBT rights, but these people, they're sickening, horrible fucking people.
Shit.
So I was trying to figure out, because I saw something about this today, but BuzzFeed, of all people, laid out what was going on, so I was reading it like, fuck this.
Oh, yeah. Jesus. Damn, people are fucked up. Damn. It's crazy.
Yeah. Sorry, crazy, man. That just pissed me off.
But yeah, I was talking about the Su Young tweet.
Because I caught a little bit about the stupid Enzo Moore stuff. And I don't know what's going on with Su Young. I did see Rich Swann still wrestling, so there's that.
Yeah, because I was saying Su Young basically put out a tweet saying that people need to lay off Rich Swann, and he doesn't beat her, yada, yada, yada. And then, yeah, it still feels weird to me, you know, even though, like, you hear it from her, you know, but at the same time, victims tend to do that type of thing. So it's like, fuck, you're like, can you really take her? I don't know, man. Like, you know?
Yeah.
Fuck.
It's an interesting thing. I did hear that, because Rich Swann's supposed to be doing a PCW show, they had to change the name of the PCW show because it was called, like, All Violence is Legal or something.
Oh, shit.
And, I mean, I get it. Though there was some guy who was really mad at Ryan Sadden for doing the story about it. He didn't say anything bad about Rich Swann. He just reported the story. Yeah, he just reported it. But some wrestler was like, "You trying to go after Rich Swann, a guy who's just trying to eat?" Like, no, he's reporting that a company got a negative response or something. They changed the name. They didn't fire fucking Rich Swann.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know.
Oh man, fucking hell. But yeah, Drop the Mic. There was a couple Drop the Mic episodes, I guess, that. One of them had the WWE Women's Superstars versus the cast members of GLOW, and Jericho also was on Drop the Mic as well. I guess you could find the episode online, or if you DVR'd it and shit like that, whatever. Okay, and time for the video game stuff. By the time this episode airs, Omega and Woods would have faced each other in Street Fighter V, except actually it wouldn't just be them, it would actually be the New Day and the Elite. So New Day versus Omega and the Young Bucks in Street Fighter V. That will be, I believe, I forgot what time it was supposed to be, but well, by the time this airs, and would have been passed, so, but you could probably catch it thereafter. But yeah, really interesting for the fact that WWE.com has really advertised it. WWE's Twitter and YouTube has advertised it. So, like, and they've mentioned Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, IWGP, heavyweight tag team champions. And yeah, very, very interesting times we live in. When it comes to cross promotion in wrestling, when it comes to other stuff. Besides that, Xavier actually competed in the Fortnite Pro-Am, which was eventually won by, of course, Ninja and the DJ EDM guy, Marshmallow. But he is, Xavier is actually a playable character in the new game, Super Bomberman R. So, good on him. Xavier really boosting his stock in the video game world, I guess. Very cool stuff. Okay, so for some UFC news, besides, of course, CM Punk catching that super mega L.
Did he get a hit in this time?
What?
Did he get a hit in this time?
He actually got a takedown this time. So I think he got some hits in, but the guy Mike Jackson was basically touring with him the whole fucking time, which is fucking terrible. So he basically just beat his face in and just made it last. And I guess Dana White was, I guess, disgusted by the display that he said that he would not allow Mike Jackson to compete in the UFC ring again. Which is funny how he singled him out, but CM Punk just lost twice in a row in the UFC. You know? Like, come on. I guess he just didn't like him messing, like, fucking with one of his short-term cash cows, I guess. But Daniel Bryan got on, I think it was the Bella Twins YouTube channel, and basically talked about how, yeah, he could probably take Mike Jackson. He could take him on the ground. I guess Daniel Bryan isn't that confident in striking, but yeah, he said he's pretty confident in his ground game. But
well, of course, I know he's had a bunch of different types of training, some MMA training, yeah. And yeah. Very catch can. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't feel confident with him in a striking game, especially with his concussions. But
yeah.
He knows a lot of holds, and he
right.
probably. He could probably really hurt him that way. But, you know, yeah. MMA and wrestling are two different things.
Two different things, yeah.
So, I mean, even right. the real straight-up wrestling. So it would really only matter if he could actually take him down. Because if he couldn't take him down, there's really no way to go.
Yeah. Mike Jackson actually did respond to it.
Yeah, I saw that.
And welcomed to it in a way, but he said he'd still beat his ass. Yeah, Daniel Bryan is still thinking about going for it. And in other MMA UFC news, Dana White claims that Brock Lesnar is interested in a John Jones fight. So when John Jones finishes out his fucking suspension for the Peds and shit, he'll most likely have to bulk up to fight heavyweight because he's a light heavyweight. So very interesting stuff. I would definitely love to see that, actually, because I'm despite all the fucked up shit John Jones did, I'm still kind of a fan, I guess. Yeah. Anyway, BBC One actually aired a documentary titled Fight Like Earl that highlighted Scottish wrestler Viper, aka Piper Niven. Her journey in wrestling, traveling the world from the UK to Japan to America and the Mae Young Classic, all that shit like that. So if you can check that out, they probably have it on demand or whatever. But yeah, cool stuff. Another thing, Impact Wrestling hired Alicia Tout. I think that's how you say her last name, but she's this like popular like interview. She does a lot of these.
Yeah, I've seen her interviews.
Yeah, she does a lot of interviews with wrestlers and musicians and all that stuff. Man, she's pretty much built her brand up of pretty well. That I guess Impact got an interest in her, so. So she got that clout and she got that employment. So good on her, I guess. But in the process, they released Mackenzie Mitchell, who was the backstage interviewer for Impact. So damn. John Cena, I believe he's replacing, I think it was Sylvester Stallone, to co-star in a Jackie Chan flick. And surprise, surprise, he's playing an ex-Marine.
Oh, man. Honestly, John Cena is the better choice for a movie with Jackie Chan.
Yeah. But apparently the movie is called Project X, not to be confused with any of the Project X movies that have been done in the past 30 plus years. I know there's been at least two. I don't know. But apparently the premise of this Project X thing is like some type of like war shit going on. And actually, no, I don't even think it's war. It's like maybe partially war. I don't know. Some trafficking stuff. And like they bring in John Cena from like Africa or Iran or Iraq. I don't know where the fuck they do. But it's a story that I'm not really that interested in. Oh, whatever. But good on him, I guess, for finding more work on that regard. And of course, we talked about Triple H conference call that mentioned the Ricochet deal. But one other interesting thing that was brought up was he has actually seen that photoshopped image of him, Kim Jong-un, and Donald Trump, and he kind of laughed it off. Thought that was funny. He said there's a possibility of more one-off appearances of NXT alumni going back down to NXT to have one more match or whatever. So That could be a cool thing, I guess, to get them revitalized before they head back to the main roster and do nothing. And speaking of people who go to the main roster and do nothing, we mentioned AOP earlier, who hasn't popped out of nowhere. I mean, hasn't popped up since like the first 2 weeks they showed up. He basically said that it wasn't his idea to bring them up and dump Paul Ellering, but he is basically looking into finding another route for Paul Ellering in NXT. So don't be surprised if Ellering shows up with another tag team
to beat up AOP before AOP gets ascensioned.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, and then apparently there's contract expiration dates that just got released by Fightful.com from a quote-unquote reliable source. For WWE, Brock Lesnar's contract expires in August, this August. So I guess after SummerSlam, it's a wrap.
He only signed another 6 month contract after May? All right.
Yeah, basically.
Okay. Yeah. Whatever works for you. I mean, it's not.
Yeah.
By the way, I want to take this time to say fuck you to those people who are comparing Brock Lesnar's reign with Okada's reign. Like, Brock Lesnar's defended his title more in those amount of days than Okada. Okada works every fucking New Japan show. He worked all the G1 climaxes. Yeah. He challenged for the tag team titles. The fuck are you comparing? Brock Lesnar works less matches in 4 months than Okada works in one.
Yeah, you can't compare it based solely on title defenses.
Exactly.
You can't.
Tell me how many fucking matches did Brock have. Every one of his title defenses was practically the only match he had.
Right.
I mean, look, if you like WWE more than New Japan, I have no problem with that. But stop making shit up.
Don't shit on it. Yeah, don't be an ass about it.
Wrestling is subjective. I get that. But you don't have to be a bitch about it.
Yeah. Okay, another contract. Ronaldo's contract ends in next June, so he has another year left on his contract. Daniel Bryan, his contract is actually up September 1st, 2018.
That one he verified.
Yeah.
I forget, he did an interview, I think it might have been with Jericho, because Jericho asked him about the All-In thing, and he said he's not sure if he could have his contract expire and he can do it right away. He wouldn't know how that would work.
Yeah, because All-In wouldn't be, because if it's live-streamed, then that's a big Negatron, right?
No, if his contract runs out, he can go anywhere.
Oh, so, but what about the 90-day clause, though?
I think the 90-day clause is if they fire you.
Huh. Oh, yeah.
If your contract is actually over, you can show up wherever the fuck you want.
Oh, that is interesting.
So, if WWE fired him right before September 1st, then he definitely couldn't do it.
But if
it expires on September 1st, it's like, can he legally do it that day?
And I wouldn't hold them against. I wouldn't hold that against them because they try to pull some bullshit.
No. They could.
They could.
I don't know how that is.
Okay. The next one, Kevin Owens. We've already kind of talked about this one. He signed a 5-year deal. So the next time his contract will be up would be April 2023. Paige's contract is up sometime next year. Big Show, we talked about how he signed a few years. So it's spring of 2021. Mandy Rose, late 2020. Miz, 2022. No specific date. Stephanie McMahon, there's actually a specific date for her on-screen persona, and that is October 7, 2019. And Mojo Rawley, 2020.
Will Mojo Rawley make it to 2020?
I don't know. We'll see. Ring of Honor, New Japan, Young Bucks, of course, we talked about how their contract is up. What did you say? It was possibly November?
Yes, I think they're up until November.
Yeah, because they just had through 2018 for this, so I guess they couldn't get a specifics on their source or whatever.
I think that they've said November before. They pretty much said it was up towards the end of 2018.
Yeah, because that's why they said
November. Contracts for most of the elite, are expire between 2018 and the beginning of 2019.
Yeah, like Kenny Omega, it will be July 2019. Did I say July? January.
That's January, yeah. I mean, even if Omega is scheduled to lose the title at Wrestle Kingdom, which I would assume that would be where he would drop the title coming up. But because, well, it depends, because apparently all first title reigns are usually short, so we don't know. Sure. Yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised if he held it to Wrestle Kingdom. Even if he lost it at Wrestle Kingdom, I think he would sign the contract to stay a couple more years because he is their top gaijin, and he's one of the few foreigner wrestlers who's the top guy of a major Japanese company who is not a heel or a tweener. He's legitimately a face. So that's a kind of a big deal, too. So I don't see him leaving unless, you know... Especially if they want him to go to NXT, because he straight said he would not go to NXT.
See, I've heard that he, like basically he won't sign anything with WWE unless everybody else goes with him. So, Young Bucks and Kota Ibushi have to, be free to go.
Kota Ibushi's not going to the States.
No, he would go to the States if Kenny went.
If he had friends.
If Kenny went, he'll go. Yeah, that would not be a surprise at all.
Man, well, that is a friendship for you.
Yeah. And then what else?
Are they going to have to sign Cody, too? Is that part of the gimmick?
Fuck no.
Oh, that would... Come on. Wouldn't that be interesting if all the Bullet Club members showed up and we had a... Like, you know, literally Finn Balor, AJ Styles, Kenny Omega, and fucking Cody... Get a four corners match out of that. Just for WWE to overbook that shit, too.
Oh, yeah.
WWE has been secondhand riding the Bullet Club way.
Yes. They don't need to, though.
They don't. They really don't. They and don't that's what makes it worse.
I don't know. Does it make it worse? Or does it make it better?
I guess it depends.
Because what's... Because everybody's getting exposure.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I guess when AJ was doing the club thing with Luke and Gal, I mean, yeah, it seemed Anderson and Gallows, it seemed kind of weird to me. But, I mean, I guess we did get that really good Finn Balor-AJ Styles match out of it. That was great. It was a match. There was limited a story between them other than both being ex-Bullet Club members. They put on the best match of that show. And they didn't just, like, ruin it by overbooking shit and then creating a needless feud.
Right.
WWE should do more of that.
Yeah. Besides that, Jim Ross and Josh Burnett, both of their Access TV contracts end January 2019.
Good.
Jay Lethal's Ring of Honor contract is through 2018, same with Shane Taylor. Michael Elgin, I believe his New Japan contract is up January 2020.
Oh, yeah. He signed the long deal. He's not he's not welcomed in certain wrestling promotions.
But, and, of course, Kota Ibushi is working as a freelancer everywhere. So, going to Impact Wrestling, Moose, his contract is up July 2020. Eli Drake, they just have his as imminent expiration.
Yeah, I heard rumors about him going to WWE too, but, you know, they're just random rumors.
I don't know.
It's because his buddy EC3 is there.
Yeah, I guess so. It's whatever. I'm not a big fan of Eli Drake. I really don't care.
I've never seen a match. The only thing I know about him is one of the Colt Cabana podcasts where he had the best friends on, and Eli Drake was waiting to get interviewed, so occasionally he would
come in with a few comments and stuff.
Okay.
He's like an interesting dude, but, you know, I never seen him wrestle.
That's whatever. Kiera Hogan, her contract is up actually this month for Impact Wrestling. I haven't seen anything from Kiera Hogan. I know she's a black girl. That's about it.
I know so, that her Twitter handle is Hogan Knows Best. So that's
oh yeah, that too. Yeah,
that's beautiful. That yeah, was confusing me funny. The first time.
That's funny.
But
and then Tessa Blanchard, who people said actually signed with Impact, is actually working without a contract.
Who is
Tessa Blanchard?
Oh yeah, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, so she isn't actually contracted with Impact, despite what people said that, like, oh, she signed a long-term contract. So, we'll see about that. But other than that, that's all I got. That's it for me. Any special developments that popped up?
Nothing I saw. I mean, I saw Rusev, just... a couple more comments, nothing extra added to that. I guess I can mention that there's video of Liger wrestling mascot, Japanese baseball mascots on Twitter if you look for it.
Yeah, I saw that.
He did the Mexican surfboard on one of those guys. So that's cool. Apparently, Joey Janela is in Mexico right now eating as many tacos as possible.
Oh, and apparently he will be at Evolve in, on the 23rd, 24th?
Actually, there's a video for it. He just posted.
Yeah, I saw it. It was dope.
The guy really knows how to market. Oh, and he's going to be running the New York GCW show in August.
Okay.
It's Joey Janela's Lost in New York. So, that, you know, so I'm actually interested to see what he books and what's happening. Did you see the video the video of him in PCO wrestling, the clip that everyone was posting?
Oh, no. I didn't see it.
They were in the crowd, and PCO tries to do a fall-away slam into the crowd, but the crowd catches Joey Janela and crowd surfs him.
Oh, nice.
And then he just gives PCO the fingers as he's seen. It's a funny little video, but, PCO is, dude's 50 and fucking over killer, dude, and, Joey Janela is the best marketed, indie wrestler right now.
Wow.
So, trying to think, is there nothing else appears to be, happening, on the interwebs? Oh, apparently WSU has a show this weekend, so that must mean it's Tournament of Death time, then.
Oh, yeah.
If you care, tournament... Well, maybe it means Tournament of Death. If you like deathmatch stuff, watch Tournament of Death, I guess.
Yeah, I haven't cared about Tournament of Death in, like, 3-4 years.
That reminds me, someone asked Danny Havoc why he does deathmatches, and his response is, because my cardio is shit.
He's like, I get blown out in 3 to 6 minutes. according to Cody Rhodes, who talks about steroid users.
Yeah. Cody Rhodes has, like, scoliosis or something.
People alleged that Cody was on steroids some years ago when he was, like, still at Stardust. Oh. People were like, yeah, I heard he's juicing.
Well, he doesn't look like he's juicing. He looks like a traditional, like, old-school wrestler now.
Yeah.
Well, for the most part. Yeah. I don't think there's anything happening right now. I mean, I guess Lucha Underground technically premieres today.
Yeah, I still don't have that channel, so...
Yeah, I didn't bother to finish the last bit. But the GIFs are happening, so there's that. You can follow the GIFs. And, that's pretty much fucking it. Oh, fuck Trump, and...
You know how many like stickers and like graffitis and shit that says fuck Trump I've seen? I've seen two this week. I've seen two fuck Trump things in Baltimore City already.
Yeah, you posted a few.
Yeah, I remember like last year, sometime last year, somebody was playing a Nipsey Hussle's fuck Donald Trump. So
fuck Donald Trump. Yeah, that's. I mean, there's a bunch of shit going on, but the important stuff that's happening this weekend: Incredibles 2 and Tag.
Oh yeah, Incredibles 2. I already got my I got my advance ticket for that shit. Tag. I'll probably see it early on in Saturday. Before Takeover.
Yeah, I'm gonna see Incredibles probably Saturday morning, and then I'm probably gonna see Tag Sunday morning. I gotta talk to my brother about
Incredibles 2. I'm going straight from work, basically. Like from work to, of course, dry cleaning, then that too into there. So
Well, I was thinking about doing that, but I have to do laundry and shit for the family, so I was like, yeah, I'll just go see Saturday, because I live real close to the movie theater, so I'll just see the early show before everyone shows up, so it's not a problem. The only one I'm going to catch, the day of coming up is probably Ant-Man and Wasp, because I got to leave that weekend for my family reunion, so I definitely want to see that before I leave. But, yeah, that's the big news for the weekend as far as I'm concerned. Other than watching NXT TakeOver, maybe watching the pay-per-view, definitely watching Westworld. Only two more episodes, man. Fuck. Yeah. But that's it. So, I guess it's time for some plugs.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so, of course, Rant EM Radio is our home. You can find them on Twitter at Red Neo Radio, and RedNeoRadio.com is host to us on Thursdays, 9 p.m. Eastern D time. Yeah, because we're gonna give you that D time. Yeah, that was dumb. Anyway, of course they have their flagship show, The Rant, Turnbuckle Diaries for the Freaks and a Few Geeks, What Are You Reading, yada yada yada. For me, doomsday519.tumblr.com, at Joey Doomsday on Twitter, Doomsday Space 519 on YouTube is my primary channel, secondary channel, Doomsday Gorilla, spelled as in PWG's Gorilla. Doomsday Gorilla on Instagram, and at Joey Doomsday 519 on Snapchat.
And I am at Westside.goth on Instagram and CM Towns on Twitter.
Yes.
Yes. I also have a Facebook and Tumblr, but don't worry about that shit.
Yeah, don't worry about that.
Unless you like pictures of women from comic books, then you can check out comicbookwomen.tumblr.com. And then I've also been trying to post more reviews on my actual blog, mygeekdom.wordpress.com. If you're interested in just me talking about shit I'm watching, reading, or whatever. Though I didn't write about the last movie I watched, which was the 1997 thriller Funny Games. They did an American remake in, 2007. I watched it on YouTube with captions. I did not care for the movie. I watched it because Faculty of Horror is going to do their next episode about it. So I was like, well, let me watch it.
Yeah, because I heard about that movie. I heard about the remake.
Yeah, the remake has Naomi Watts and Michael Pitt and some other people. Yeah. I mean, it's interesting, but, you know, it's douchebag yuppie types killing, you know, being assholes and killing.
Just for the fun of it. You know.
Yeah, and those kind of horror movies or thrillers don't really do much for me.
Yeah.
And I think that's wrong. I mean, I don't think it was a bad movie. I just watched it I felt bad for the family, and I hated the characters, and I just was like, yeah, no, I can't deal with
it. Yeah. For me, I saw, of course, I told you about Hotel Artemis, which was a pretty decent movie. It's not doing well. I would say it's like a B movie with a bigger budget. That's actually the way it plays out, kind of.
I heard Batista was good in it, though.
But yeah, Batista was great. I like Batista. Jodie Foster is Jodie Foster. She's always going to act well.
Yeah, Jodie Foster is interesting. A random recommendation for her is a film she did as a kid. I fucking forget the name. It was based on a stage play. But she's basically I think she's a runaway, and she pretends that her family gave her money to buy this house. I'm going to look it up. But I saw it on Netflix some years ago. I don't know if it's still on there. But it's interesting to watch her as a kid, because some people forget that Jodie Foster was, you know, a child actress.
Yeah.
And aspired to kill a dude. Or try to shoot
him. Yeah, that's right.
Let me see if I can find her discography.
That was the Reagan assassination attempt, right?
Yes. It's interesting how many presidents have been... Well, we haven't had a good attempted presidential assassination in a while, have we?
Yeah, we haven't had that in a while. But like, because, we've had people shoot at the White House.
Yeah, the last one was President Ford. But that story ended up pretty depressing, because the guy saved him just because, and then Harvey Milk. You've heard of Harvey Milk, right?
Yeah, the gay politician from San Francisco.
Yeah, he outed his butt, this guy, to try to make it an LGBT issue. And the dude wasn't outed. It ended up fucking with his family and stuff.
Yeah.
And the guy was, like, PTSD, former military. He was in, like, bad shape. So it was like he pulled this bullshit thing. But, I think that was, like, one of the last ones.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, you stupid fucking IMDb bullshit. You know what I'm looking for. What do you... I hate how websites have decided to make everything more complicated. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And so everything's loading slower because they load everything into it. You know? Yeah.
All right. The movie I'm thinking of is The Little Girl Who Lives Down the Lane. It's a pretty interesting thriller. It's based on a stage production. But I don't really watch Jodie Foster movies. But whenever someone mentions her, that's the one I think about. Or the fact the guy shot Reagan.
Yeah.
But, all right.
Yeah. Besides that, yeah, Sterling K. Brown was pretty good in it too. And all the other characters didn't.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine he showed up in too as well.
Yeah. Then Charlie Day was Charlie Day.
Yeah.
The other movie I saw over the weekend was Hereditary, which was if you enjoy slow burns in a horror movie, you'll like it.
Yeah, I'll I might see it at the end of June if it's still playing, because I think next week is Jurassic World.
Yeah, so, but just to keep your hopes, your expectations low, at least lower.
Oh, I'm trying to get as fucking low as possible. I know everyone's talking about how great it is. I am ignoring everything.
It is not the scariest movie of all time.
Yeah, The only time I've ever seen anything like that and ended up believing it was the original Martyrs, where on it said the most ferocious horror film of all time, and I said bullshit. And then I watched it, and I'm like, okay, I'll give that shit to you.
What movie was it?
The original Martyrs, the French film.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
I've never seen the remake. I heard the remake is nowhere near as dark. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I had trouble watching Martyrs, because it's like, it's like three different horror films in kind of construction. It's like the revenge part, then the slow burn thriller part, and then the torture porn part. It was just,
those Europeans love that. That's their like three bread and butter.
Oh yeah, yeah. This came out during the height of the European torture porn films. So Martyrs is the only film I saw that, and I wouldn't really even call it scary. I would just call it aggressively mean to the point where you don't kind of want to watch it.
Oh wow!
It is that mean, but. And I don't watch torture porn, and I didn't know what I was getting into when I bought the movie. I bought it on that alone.
The last torture porn I saw was Green Inferno.
The Eli Roth movie? I've only seen, like, one Eli Roth movie. I don't know about him.
Yeah.
His new movie is weird, though. The kids' scary movie, The House with the Clocks in the Wall.
Oh, no, I didn't know about that one.
It's a kid's film with Jack Black, and I want to say Kate Blanchett? I could be wrong. It could be Naomi Watts. It's one of the famous white actresses.
Blanchett was the one that was in Thor Ragnarok.
Yes.
So was it her?
I want to say it is. I'll look it up right now. I'm just going to look up Jack Black movies. Those should pop up for me. But the trailer looked interesting, and it kind of reminded me of, like, the 80s when they used to do a lot more, like, they called them kid adventure films, where it was, like, teenagers in weird situations, and I kind of miss those movies, you know? You don't get, I mean, most movies with teenagers now are usually kind of, like, coming-of-age dramas or some shit.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of, like, good adventure movies, unless they're, like, the overproduced supernatural romance stuff. Yep, Kate Blanchett.
Yep.
So I was right.
It looks very fascinating. It reminds me of those kind of old ones. It has nothing to do with, like, romantic YA fiction stuff. Oh, like Goosebumps. I liked the last Goosebumps movies with Jack Black.
I like that one, too. Yeah, that one was good.
Kind of the feeling I get in with this movie. If Jack Black has decided just to do these kind of movies, I'm cool with it. But, yeah, that one looks good. But I do plan to see Hereditary when I get a chance.
Yeah, so, Hereditary. Besides that, I ain't got shit, so we're going to end this on a high note. Hey, 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 hey. Smoke weed every day.